Friends, I've told you for years that those who came out of the closet 40 plus years ago want to put you and me in the closet. Our religious rights, our freedoms of conscience are under attack. Listen carefully.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, I am not one of these people who says the sky is falling, the sky is falling. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being realistic. Your religious rights, your freedom of conscience, your freedom of speech are under serious attack today. The day has come in different parts of America. Could be coming your way, coming a state near you like New Jersey, where if you are, say, 17 years old and you have same-sex attraction, that you will be told you cannot receive counseling. Correct. This is the law. This is currently the law in California. It's being challenged, all right? But this is what we are dealing with today. And I'm going to be bringing on a guest to discuss this. Matt, somehow Joey does not have Chris's number. If you could just get it to him right now, somehow he's missing that info. We'll be bringing on the line shortly Chris Doyle. Chris is a professional psychotherapist, educator, author, is the director of the International Healing Foundation, a nonprofit organization that since 1990 has helped thousands of individuals and families struggling with sexual orientation. Chris has a master's degree in professional counseling. He's written an important article on, it's posted on the Christian Post, Sexual Orientation Therapy Ban, Where is Tolerance? Friends, you do not have the right to differ. You do not have the right to differ. This is what it has come to. If you simply hold to biblical values, you are now being marginalized to the point that you're not even allowed to help people professionally in certain contexts. And if you simply hold to biblical values, more and more the left-wing agenda is pushing in such a way, and this has nothing to do with politics, this is a much deeper issue, it is pushing in such a way to get you and me codified as bigots. Here's the number to call to weigh in with your questions, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We're going to direct you to some petitions that you can sign as well so that your voice will be heard. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. If you want to check on those petitions even now, go to the Line of Fire website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see my first comment for today's show. I've also posted an important article that you can read in charismanews.com called Rob Bell's Recipe for Spiritual Disaster, and we will be talking about that in the second hour of the broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I don't have time to play this first clip, but Joey, we come back, I'm going to play clip number one. What do you do when people who really need help, when people who really need transformation, when people who really need mercy, compassion, and either gospel help or professional therapy, what do you do when people like that now become the norm? And if you differ with that, if you have a problem with a man saying, well, I'm 70% man and 30% woman, so I take hormones to be partially woman, but the rest of me is a man, but I wear a dress and so on. Okay, that person needs help. What do you do when that person now becomes the norm by which everything else is judged? And if you want to help that person, now there's something wrong with you. My guest Chris Doyle is waiting to join us. We come back, we'll bring him right on. Friends, I'm not exaggerating. And I've got a wonderful testimony to share in a little while to encourage you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen carefully to this audio clip, and then we will be joined by an expert guest, a former homosexual, an ex-gay himself, which the world wants you to think does not exist and cannot exist. But this is some of the discussion taking place on national or international media, in this case, BBC. Listen to this dialogue.
It's a pretty safe bet that you're a man or a woman, isn't it?
Gender queer, gender fluid, androgynous, bigender.
Who decides whether we are men or women? Is it the midwife who, you know, has a quick glance? I've seen 4 children before, I know how quick that glance is. You know, you've got a girl. Well, how do you know we've got a girl? You've not done anything but a quick glance.
Transvestite, transgenderist.
I believe myself probably to be about 70% male, 30% female.
Third gender, pangender.
Scientists and policymakers have been redefining, in quite dramatic terms, what it is to be a woman or a man. Before, I would have told you quite confidently that I was a woman. Now, I'm not so sure.
All right. This is, friends, what we're dealing with. People who need help, people who need counsel, people who need ministry. Now that's the norm. However you feel about yourself, that defines your gender. And if someone is 11 years old, no, say 8 years old in California and says, hey, I'm a boy trapped in a girl's body. Okay, that's okay. And they can put that kid on hormone blockers before they come into puberty and recommend sex change surgery when they're still teenagers. And that's okay. But if a 17-year-old comes in and says, I'm troubled with my same-sex attraction and my mom and dad support me in trying to get to the roots of this and change. If SB 1172 is held up by the courts in California or other therapy bills go through in other states, it'll be illegal to counsel. My guest, Chris Doyle. Chris, it's an extraordinary day we're living in today when your very existence is denied. There is no such thing as a former homosexual. And even constructive, helpful therapy that's helped so many thousands, there's an attempt to outlaw things. Am I exaggerating this, Chris?
Well, Michael, welcome to the Twilight Zone.
That's the truth, isn't it?
This is the day of age we're living in where it is completely acceptable within our mainstream mental health associations to change one's gender, one's assigned sex, as what they call it now, but to seek help to reduce unwanted same-sex attractions. Michael, we're not even talking about people who are gay and lesbian that don't want to change. You can't change if you have unwanted same-sex attractions. That is what these people are saying now. It is unlawful. It will be prohibited. And from what I testified in front of the New Jersey Health Senate Committee on Monday in New Jersey, it is now being considered child abuse by the United Nations and the gay activist community.
All right, Chris, before we talk about some things happening in the media, let's focus on the legislative issues. And friends, I encourage you to sign the petitions. I've put them out on my social media, Facebook, just blasted them out on Twitter, as well as on our Line of Fire website. But Chris, tell us what's actually happening. A few states involved or the UN, what are they actually trying to legislate and make illegal? And how would they classify professional therapy and help for those with unwanted same-sex attraction under 18?
Well, that's a lot of issues. So let me try to start just by saying that what I believe is occurring is there is a concerted effort by the activist community. They are working with each other in sympathetic legislatures around the country, meaning that they're looking to take some state assemblies and legislatures that are more liberal-leaning, and they're trying to jam through legislation to prohibit counseling for those who have unwanted same-sex attractions that are under the age of 18. What we now have seen and witnessed is California, which was the first state to pass such legislation and sign into law, that happened in 2012, and Governor Jerry Brown signed it into law, and it's currently being challenged in the courts of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're waiting to hear oral testimony on that case in late April. The other states that have made similar proposed legislation is Washington, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and also I'm missing one, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. We also see that there has been one federal resolution that was introduced into United States Congress by a representative in late 2012. Now, that resolution was not adopted or passed, but this just goes to show you the concerted effort on the activist community. It's no longer just about gaining rights for the gay and lesbian community. Now they are actually taking away the rights of heterosexuals and people who hold to traditional Christian and Judeo-Christian values.
And Chris, we're watching where just Christians holding to biblical values of marriage and family and so on are now being codified as bigots and put in the same category as, say, the Fred Phelps God Hates Fags groups, so that it's almost a matter of manipulating, intimidating, embarrassing people. There's a lot of bullying going on against simple biblical conservative family values, is there not?
Well, there's bullying around anything that disagrees with their agenda. It doesn't have to...
Yeah,
you know, I speak on this issue from a purely psychological and scientific perspective, and I happen to be a Christian and hold to those values as well. But I never really speak on these issues as a Christian, because when I present myself, unfortunately, as a Christian, I immediately get blasted as a hate monger, a bigot, Bible thumping religious zealot. So what I do is I try to use as much as I can the actual science that stands behind these issues. But that being said, even when I use that, I'm still casted as the religious homophobic person who really has internalized homophobia and is still really gay. Even though I have a wife of 6 years and three beautiful children, one unborn, I'm still living a lie, and I'm a hate monger.
Right, and the thing that's so extraordinary is the counseling and therapy you do is demanding. It takes professional training. It means getting into the trenches with people and long-term commitment to walk them through. It takes love to do that. It took a serious commitment in your life to change, yet you get branded a certain way. And then, of course, I get branded as a heterosexual man. Well, I must be a closet gay person because I'm opposing these issues. And you're obviously just suppressing who you really are. They can't accept that a heterosexual could be a heterosexual and have an issue with redefining marriage, or that a homosexual could actually change. So, Chris, their argument would be, well, look, I'm gay, and my parents sent me to this therapist, and it was very traumatic for me, and I was going to commit suicide. And now we're out going to outlaw this therapy because it's so dangerous. That's the emotional appeal. That's what pulled in a key leader in California. Is the science, and you're a counselor. Is this abusive and destructive and highly lucrative, or is it as helpful as any other professional therapy?
Well, I wouldn't call the field highly lucrative. I didn't get into this for the money. But what I can tell you is that, first of all, I'm extremely sympathetic to any person who was taken to therapy and forced to change or forced to do something against their will. I don't believe in that. I believe that parents and their children should make reasonable, informed decisions together. And I have this happen quite literally every week in my counseling office, where I have a mom and dad bring in their child. And before I embark on any sort of effort to help that child change his or her sexual feelings, I do what we call advanced informed consent. And I spend extra time doing interviewing and making sure that this really is the will of the child and not just a parent who is unhappy with their child. So I think that personally is important, not only for an ethical reason, but also it's not going to work unless the person really wants to change them, him or herself. And I tell that to the parents. You know, if this is just for you, I understand that. I value your child and your values, and, you know, I'm happy to work with your child in trying to figure out some of these issues and explore the sexual identity issues. But I'm not going to force any person to do a therapeutic activity or intervention against their will. And that's really what the activists are saying that we're doing. They're saying that not only do we force these children to change or to try to change, but that we're actually torturing them, that we're hooking them up to electroshock therapy or putting them up to IV fluid and making them watch pornographic films that are homoerotic and then making them vomit. I mean, it's
crazy.
The things that were testified in New Jersey on Monday actually sickened me. These people are literally making these things up.
All right, Chris, truth will triumph. Light will shine and darkness will be exposed. The media is complicit as well. We come back, we'll talk with Chris Doyle about this, give you his website, how to be in touch with him.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, this is your listener-supported voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. If you're listening to me on WMCA in New Jersey, this legislation is coming your way unless people stand up and speak the truth. There is a petition you can sign. Go to comingoutloved.com, and you'll have links to that. We've also put up links at the Line of Fire website on my Facebook and Twitter feeds so that you can sign these petitions. My guest, Chris Doyle, is a professional psychotherapist with a master's degree, a former homosexual himself, and leading the International Healing Foundation. Chris, obviously, we understand that the media plays a massive role in influencing people. Young people recently polled indicated they thought about one out of every three people in the country was gay or lesbian, as opposed to more like one out of 33. Remarkable. But there was recently an episode on the series Criminal Minds that was very upsetting to former homosexuals like that, like yourself, as well as the Christian community as a whole. So what happened with that, and what are you doing with that as far as a petition?
Well, the episode was shown on February 20th, and what it did was it depicted as people who have unwanted same-sex attractions, the very clients that I see in my therapeutic practice as ticking time bombs. Essentially, what CBS and Criminal Minds portray these people as is repressing their sexual feelings, suffering from internalized homophobia or hatred against themselves for having homosexual feelings. And what they said, that people who are experiencing these things are basically in danger of violence towards themselves and for other people because they're not living their true, authentic selves. And so what happened in the episode, Dr. Brown, was they portrayed this person as a serial killer, killing gay men and also killing women because he wasn't able to, I guess you would say, sexually perform. And then he was so upset with himself for basically having homosexual sex that he would kill the gay men that he had sex with. It was outrageous.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, rightly outrageous. And the media knows exactly what it's doing when it does this. This was not just some innocent, oh, it just got in the plot. I document this in depth in A Queer Thing Happened to America. So, Chris, you have also launched a petition drive to communicate to CBS. Look, if we don't speak, then we're even failing to be witnesses, let alone having any possibility to bring about change. So, Chris, what can people do if they want to make a difference here? Obviously, we pray and we live right ourselves and we share in whatever context we have, but you're leading the way with some petition drives here. What can every listener do?
Correct. Well, the first thing I think that Christians and Jews listening out there who aren't necessarily connected with anyone who has unwanted SSA can understand that these attacks are not just against the former homosexual community and their families. This is an attack against the Judeo-Christian community. In this episode, they impugn and they blame the source of this homophobia, this hatred, this serial killer as coming right from the Bible. So this isn't just an attack on former homosexuals. This is an attack on God. And so I think people need to really have some righteous anger and be offended on behalf of their values speak up against this madness. And if we don't speak up, who will, Dr. Brown? So go to our website at comingoutloved.com. That's with a D, comingoutloved.com. We have two petitions. One is demanding that CBS apologize to the Judeo-Christian community, and the other petition is basically opposing these legislative efforts in five different states. Sign the petition.
Excellent. And Chris, you are a testimony to what God can do through change and the role that professional counseling can bring as well. Articulate, clear-headed, glad to have you on the front lines together, Chris, and we wish you God's strength and grace as you continue to stand.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Appreciate your time.
All right. Friends, Wednesdays we focus on moral and cultural issues here. We focus on the world, on moral and cultural issues. And I want to ask you to do something that if you've listened to me for years, I really ask you to do. I want to appeal to you to stand with us in a sacrificial way to help us maintain our voice on each of these stations where you hear me speaking right now, and help us expand to other stations across the nation, and help us expand in the ministry work that we're doing all over America and in Israel and in the nations. I want you to hear this testimony. This just came in a few days ago from Colleen. Dear Dr. Brown, thank you 1,000 times over for writing A Queer Thing Happened to America. Your book was so eye-opening, shocking, and yet comforting. As a Gen Y cradle Catholic educated in the Massachusetts public system, I unwaveringly accepted homosexuality as equally normal as heterosexuality. I have been one of, quote, those gay rights activists who call conservatives, quote, intolerant bigots. I fell away from my Catholic upbringing and rejected the church on the notion that they were so utterly wrong about homosexuality. I thank you for bringing back my sanity, restoring my belief in my faith, and for providing so many amazing reasons, both biblical and logical, for why homosexuality is immoral and bad for the future of our nation. Keep doing what you're doing, and God bless. Sincerely, Colleen. Friends, I couldn't pay $1 million for a testimony like that. It's utterly priceless, but by God's grace, we're making a difference. And I want to ask you to help us make a greater and stronger and louder difference by maintaining our voice on these stations and helping to expand our reach around the country and around the world as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Now, we're doing something we've never done before today. My book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, is 700 pages. It is $27.99. It's hardcover. So with postage, it's over $30. Everyone that needs to get this book, but you cannot afford to pay the full price, the book is available to you for whatever you can afford today. Today only. Call 1-800-278-9978. For your gift of any size, we will send you the book. 1-800-278-9978. Now, we don't have the funds just to send this out to everyone at a reduced price, but I am believing that as we extend generosity towards others, that some of you who have more will extend generosity towards us and will give additionally. Become a torchbearer. Become a monthly supporter. Hold our hands up as we make a difference in America, among the Jewish people, and in the nations of the world as we help spark moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, or help with a generous one-time gift. If God's prompting you to do it, friends, I can ask boldly because the money doesn't go into my pocket. It goes right back out to reach others. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. A Queer Thing Happened to America for your gift of any size, but I'm asking others to stand with us in a generous way. If you prefer to give online, not to order the book, but to give online, just go to askdrbrown.org, click on support. Friends, truth will triumph, no doubt about it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I have said many, many times that I'm not exaggerating. I have said many, many times, I'm not making this up. You may think what I'm saying sounds crazy and extreme, but I am not an alarmist. I personally don't think that what we're living in today is a sign that Jesus is coming at any moment. I expect there to be massive upheaval and shaking around the world that makes today looks like paradise. And in the midst of that, God moving mightily. I am at peace. I'm full of joy. I am confident in the Lord. And I'm sounding the alarm once again on the line of fire. 866-348-7884 is the number to call. It's Wednesday. We're focusing on the world moral cultural issues. We just heard from Chris Doyle, a former homosexual himself. He is fighting legislation in New Jersey and other states that would make it illegal to provide counseling and help to someone with unwanted same-sex attraction if they are under 18. Okay, here's literally, this is where we're at today in society. Someone comes into a counselor's office. He's a 40-year-old married man. He tells the counselor, I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy with being a man. I've always felt I was a girl. I was a woman trapped in a man's body. I can't hold this marriage together any longer. I really need help. Therapist talks to him for a while, is convinced that this is how the person really feels, and says, okay, we can help transition you. We counsel that you first begin to dress and identify as what you believe your real gender is. Then we'll put you on hormone treatments, and then after a couple of years, you'll have sex change surgery. That's the path we're going to take, and you can be whole in that way. Perfectly legal. In fact, considered commendable. Someone else comes in and says, I'm 17 years old. I'm here with my mom and dad. I want to be married to a woman. I want to have a normal family. It's my biblical and moral conviction. And I'm just troubled by these same-sex attractions. Can you help me work these out, get to the root of them? Oh, no. That would be abusive. That's illegal. Here's where we're at today. Joey, play clip number 3.
One explanation for people wanting to change sex is social pressure to conform to gender stereotypes, to fit into a gender binary with man on the one side, woman on the other. But the desire is often accompanied by a visceral dislike of the sexual characteristics of one's body, an experience known as gender dysphoria. Scientists are trying to understand what exactly is going on, though without much success.
We are frankly mystified by what might be the cause of an individual wanting to live as a person of the other sex.
I went to meet Melissa Hines, a gender expert and professor of psychology at the University of Cambridge, in the hope that she could at least nail down some basics for me.
Can you start by giving us a definition of what sex and gender are, in your view?
People have separated sex and gender and suggested that sex is biological and gender is culturally determined. I find sometimes it's hard to make this distinction.
Can you tell me then, in pretty basic terms, how you would go about determining what sex somebody is?
I would ask them.
It's up to them.
I think it should be up to them.
You can choose whether you're male or female.
All right. I am not denying for a second that there are troubled people who are struggling and need help and compassion. But friends, this is madness that you choose if you're male or female. I've got another clip where they say, yeah, we don't really know when that baby's born what it is. As I've said, you know, the packaging is male, the plumbing is male, but maybe it's female. We don't really know. That's what we've come to. Rather than saying these people need help, now society is being restructured, laws are being restructured, and there's even an attack on religious freedoms and rights. We come back, I'll be joined by attorney, law professor Arthur Goldberg, co-founder of Jonah, Jews Offering New Alternatives for Healing.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, there's the old saying of Martin Niemöller, a pastor in Germany. When the Nazis came for the Jews, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. When they came for the trade unionists, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a trade unionist. And when they came for the communists, or so whoever it was next, I didn't say anything because I wasn't a communist. And then when they came for me, there was no one left to speak for me. My guest, Arthur Goldberg, is not a Christian. He is a traditional Jewish man, co-founder of an organization that helps Jews and others with unwanted same-sex attraction. And friends, this is an attack on fundamental issues of faith, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. Arthur, I appreciate you being on the front lines here. As I asked Chris Doyle the last half hour, I'll ask you, am I exaggerating or is the attack, the frontal assault, what I'm describing?
You are absolutely correct. There is a clear bullying. You know, the gay activists always talk about bullying. What they're doing is they're bullying the people of faith, people of conscience. And in our case, they're a series of bogus claims that are totally inconsistent with scientific and medical opinions and studies that find that sexual attraction, in fact, is not born that way, but comes about because of a series of environmental and possible biological factors. And what has happened is that the Southern Poverty Law Center, who went out and recruited some plaintiffs, are suing Jonah and myself individually and some of our therapists. And the guts of their case, the guts of their claim, is that homosexuality is permanently fixed, that people cannot be helped in overcoming unwanted same-sex attractions. Further, that any kind of therapeutic or religious intervention to assist someone with unwanted same-sex attractions constitutes a consumer fraud under the New Jersey statutes. I mean, how ludicrous can we be?
So, Arthur, this is a matter of, it used to be just accept us and allow for our right to exist, and now it's basically you must affirm, celebrate who we are, and cannot possibly challenge any of our ideology, or we will come against you with the force of the law or public opinion. Getting sued for this, Arthur, a lot of my listeners are familiar with testimonies, gospel testimonies, and someone says that Jesus helped them get free from their same-sex attraction or other addictions and things like that. Obviously, that's not the focus you're coming from. You're coming from a faith perspective, but also just a professional counseling perspective. You know for a fact people who, through therapy or other means outside of the gospel, have actually changed. Is there not scientific evidence to support this?
Absolutely. There's any number of studies out there. North did a study of over 600 studies that was done in Volume 1 of their journal called Human Sexuality. Other people have done studies. There's been any number of studies out there, and the real point is that I don't believe there's any studies out there on the other side that say that it can't be changed.
Right.
They say, well, we're not sure. Maybe it might be harmful. It's all anecdotal information, none of which is scientifically based and proven.
And the only thing that has been demonstrated is that when studies were done recruiting people who said they had been harmed by the therapy, that over a period of a few years, these researchers were able to find people who said, yeah, they were harmed by the therapy. But even then, they talked to some who said they were helped. And basically, if you talk to anyone, I got counseling for depression, and I'm more depressed. I got counseling for obesity, and I gained weight. Therapy counseling is not perfect anyway. So the idea that some people are not positively helped, that's normal. We're being held to a standard. If every person is not 100% changed in every way, then the science is bogus. That's completely bogus, Arthur.
That is completely bogus, and that is exactly right, because in traditional therapy of any sort, we have what we call the one-third rule. The one-third rule basically is that one-third of the people successfully complete healing for whatever they went to therapy for, whatever it may be, okay? One-third have significant improvement, but are not totally healed. And one-third, it doesn't work for. That's the one-third rule.
And so that's anything.
Everyone says, that's no problem when you're coming in for whatever, be it depression, OCD, alcoholism, I mean, no matter what it may be. You come in for homosexuality, and if the one-third rule still applies, well, it basically means that two-thirds of the people have had significant improvement or have been totally healed of their attractions. And when you're dealing with attraction, you're dealing about three different levels: feelings, behavior, and identity. And feelings is very, very important, because what are the gay activists are going to claim is, oh, all you're doing is repressing your feelings. We say, no, what we're doing is we're transforming the feelings, just like in a religious context someone does teshuva or repentance. You transform yourself, or in a Christian context, if Jesus has saved you, you've transformed yourself.
Right. So Arthur, when we think of the issues at stake here, when there are actually lawsuits taken out against you, and we've seen what Southern Poverty Law Center has led to, is they've demonized certain people and groups like the Family Research Council. That led directly to a shooting, to an attack meant to kill many at FRC last year, and hardly a peep about it in the media. I'm not saying that gay activists are trying to kill you, or I'm not suggesting that for a split second, but they certainly are trying to silence us, and that is not an overstatement. And when someone comes against you legally, I mean, there are legal bills, there's the pressure, there's the hassle of it, just to have the right to help people coming to you in need. Is it going
to
change?
Whatever happened to the idea of tolerance and diversity being a two-way street? As you said in your opening, the fact is they've moved from you must accept me to you must affirm me, okay? They said, give us tolerance and allow us diversity. But they don't want to do that the other way. The person who has overcome homosexuality is entitled to the same tolerance, the same diversity.
Yeah, and Arthur, when there'll be claims, well, look, people tried the therapy and then they failed and they committed suicide. And of course, I've got documentation from a gay therapist who said he tried to help a guy come out as gay, and when the guy didn't succeed, he committed suicide. But what about the very real issues, as the CDC, Center of Disease Control, reports about the high increase, the steady increase of sexually transmitted diseases for men involved with sex with other men, and then other lifestyle issues, be it alcoholism, drug abuse, depression, suicide, that just happen in the mainstream gay community? Shouldn't there be concern about health risks by affirming the lifestyle?
Of course there should be very big concerns about the health risk. And you're absolutely correct in citing the CDC studies. The CDC studies are very clear that there's any number of health risks. You know, they talk about, you mentioned that the activists will say, oh, well, people may have committed suicide and that have gone through this process or have been harmed by this process. Well, the fact of the matter is the gay activists have a much greater suicide rate,
of course,
than the people who have tried to go through a healing journey. And in terms of harm caused, the fact of the matter is, again, if you look at the NOS study, which reviewed all the professional literature on whether harm is caused or not, the truth is that reparative therapy, gender affirmation, whatever words you want to use for it, sexual orientation change efforts, there's a ton of different words for it. The fact is that people, the claims of harm are greatly, greatly, greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, and Arthur, we've just got about a minute and a half, and I appreciate you pulling away from your other responsibilities to join me, but you were involved with civil rights movement years ago. Did the leaders say, look, our kids, our black kids are killing themselves, hanging themselves because they're being rejected by society, so you better accept them? Because I don't remember ever hearing that as I was growing up. But not only so, we understand that suicide has a lot of other complex issues, that your average person struggling with rejection is not going to commit suicide. It seems to me almost a self-defeating thing for gay activists to keep mentioning this as though it's almost encouraging it. It seems very different than the civil rights mentality to me.
Totally, totally. And, you know, they use this term of internalized homophobia, and they use these terms of saying that, oh, we're the poor victims. You know, the fact of the matter is, I'm a Jew. Okay, we were heavily discriminated against as Jews, particularly early in this century and last century. You don't see the Jews complaining about, I'm a poor victim. They went out and did something on their own in the true American dream and followed the American dream by being out, get out there and do what it takes to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. And you didn't hear about all the Jewish youth in the ghettos who were just going to kill themselves because life was tough. They were among the strongest freedom fighters. So, Arthur, I'm not criticizing these kids who are struggling. I'm saying let's help them when they're really hurting.
Our compassion and our heart goes out to these people who need help.
Yeah. Arthur, what's the website where people can connect with you?
They can go to JonahWeb, JonahWeb.org. And we certainly would be happy to answer any questions or help any people. But also, frankly, we are desperately in need of contributions for our litigation. We're working with a fabulous firm, a guy named Charles Lemandry from
yeah, just got to jump in. Just got to jump in. JonahWeb.org, and they do need some help in the midst of the legal attack. Thanks, Arthur. God bless you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, yet again, I want to underscore the massive confusion we're dealing with. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. I'm not giving out the phone number now. There's not enough time to play the clips I want to play and take calls. If you do want to talk with me, call now, and you can join me in the next hour. So I will give the number, 866-348-7884. But I'm not going to be taking any calls in the next 10 minutes. Let's say you have a kid, a deaf child, in school. Well, if that is a normal school, not a school for the deaf, then you accommodate however possible, and you do your best to be conscientious of the fact that that child is deaf. But if you have a school, say, of 1,000 young people, you don't forbid them to talk because the child is deaf, do you? No. Maybe some of them will learn sign language or you make them more sensitive to issues that deaf kids deal with, but you don't forbid the whole school from talking. Why? Because it's recognized that that deaf child, who might be a wonderful, amazing child in many ways, has a certain handicap. If there is someone, and I'll get the hate mail and comments over this and perhaps be honored by being quoted on various gay activist websites, but if you have someone who is a boy and is convinced that he's a girl, because of which he can't use the boy's bathroom, there's an emotional or mental or some kind of psychological handicap that that person has. We want to be compassionate and help them, but we don't now change everything so that the boy uses the girl's bathroom or that we now call the boy a girl. Look, there is an athlete, MMA, mixed martial arts, one of the toughest sports out there, a man who then went through sex change surgery, now identifies as a woman, and is fighting other women in MMA. And some are saying they're not going to fight. And Joey, get clip number 4 ready. Amisha Tate, who's a leading female MMA fighter, she said, "I've just got a lot of questions. I don't feel there's been enough research to safely say it's okay for Fallon Fox," that's the guy who identifies as a woman, "not to fight other females. I consider that she went through puberty as a man. Does that change bone density? Does it change her body frame? I think she has broader shoulders than most females. Her hips look different." No, that's a man. And I'm not going to get in the ring with a man who's had sex change surgery to be a woman because I'm just a woman. clip number 4. I'm going to jump in partway, but again, from this BBC show. Friends, this is madness. We need to help people.
Julie Bindle, a lesbian and a feminist, is worried about where this might lead us.
Many children who present as transgender end up identifying as either lesbian or gay in later life and no longer identify as transgender. Definitely, had I been taken to a psychiatrist when I was, you know, in my early teens and was being bullied because of living outside of gender rules, I may well have been given a diagnosis of being transgender, and I could be sitting here talking to you as a male. So I think hormone blockers for children are a dreadful idea.
She's also concerned about the practical consequences of men becoming women.
I was volunteering at a service near a street prostitution area where the women had an appalling history of child sexual abuse and who were being abused on the streets. And a male-to-female transgender person, pre-op, came in, beard, stubble, very short skirt, sat with her legs very widely splayed, and obviously had male genitals.
All right, just jump in there. So this is a woman who's a lesbian, who's saying, look, just because someone thinks they're a boy or a girl when they're in the opposite body as a kid, many of them are going to grow out of that. And then you got all these other practical issues, like a man saying he's a woman serving as a prostitute, wearing a dress, and he's a male. Friends, this is now celebrated in the media. Transgender is the new thing. And we need to pray for breakthroughs, for help for these struggling people, and for repentance for those making sinful choices. But we don't change society around it. All right. I said I was not going to the phones, but I want to very, very quickly, if I can get to Carol, who was at the hearing in New Jersey. So, Carol, our time is very short, but you were at the hearing for Bill 2278, which would outlaw counseling therapy for minors with unwanted same-sex attraction. Just tell us very quickly what your thoughts are.
Hi. Yes, I was there down in Trenton. Now, the LGBT community had lots and lots of people. They were all heard by the 12 senators that were on, scheduled to hear this bill. And I'll tell you, some of the testimony sounded like it came out of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. One fellow was saying his testicles were shocked. And I say, well, how can this happen? You go, these parents are not checking out, where they're sending their children for supposed regenerative therapy. And it turns out that a lot of this was just plain old lies and storytelling. Some of this testimony was taken from a movie from 1999.
Yeah.
And the folks at the senators, they didn't bother to vet, I guess, all the testimony. But I was with folks who are belonging to Living Free Ministry and P. Fox, and
yeah.
We just don't like the government coming in and telling us what to do with our underage children.
Yeah, this is absolute outrageous government interference, overreach. It has nothing to do with the fact that some...
with the gender problem. No, it is civil rights.
And it is the attack on our freedom of religion, conscience, speech that we've spoken of for many years. Carol, thanks so much for calling us and sharing that. If you live in New Jersey, don't go to sleep on this. Let me ask you a question, friends. If suddenly I was not speaking to you on the air, if suddenly I was not writing articles, if suddenly I was not broadcasting online, if suddenly I was not out there speaking or writing books, would it make a difference? Would there be a hole? Would there be a void? I'm asking you to help us maintain what we're doing and expand and amplify the voice God has given us. Stand with us with a generous gift today that will go 100% to this radio ministry and to our outreach through missions and Jewish outreach around the world. I need as many of you as possible to call with a generous gift. No hype. Folks can check our finances inside and out. The more they check, the happier they are with where their funds go. Call to give 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. And if you do not have A Queer Thing Happened to America, with postage, it's worth a little over $30. If you can't afford that, whatever you can afford, call that same number, 1-800-278-9978, with whatever you can afford. And I want to send the book to you because it's crucial that you get it. And others who are generous will help make up for your lack. 1-800-278-9978, or to give online or become a monthly supporter, just go to askdrbrown.org and click on support. My bottom line today, I am not exaggerating. I am not saying the sky is falling. I am sounding the alarm. The all-out attack on our faith and freedom is on. What are you going to do? Well, best-selling author Rob Bell has counseled American evangelicals that we've got to adapt or die, and he is now endorsing a man marrying a man. He could not be more wrong.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, is it any surprise? Is it any surprise that one of the nation's more influential, quote, Christian leaders has now endorsed a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman? Is it any surprise when there has been so much deviation from foundations already by this same gentleman? And is it any surprise that it's now the politically in thing to do? Is it any surprise that Hillary Clinton now says she's in favor of a man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman? And President Clinton's now come out arguing for the Supreme Court to overturn what he signed into law 17 years ago, DOMA. Is it any surprise that Senator Rob Portman has now come out even as a Republican in Ohio saying, our views have changed? Has Scripture changed, friends? Has male or female identity changed? Has the nature of a family changed? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. It's Wednesday. We focus on the world, on moral, cultural issues. And what we're going to talk about is of critical, critical importance. If you're new to the program, I don't get up and just come up with crazy headlines from the National Enquirer and say, oh, no, look at what's happening. I research things carefully. My PhD in Near Eastern languages and literature has trained me, and it's my nature anyway, to research carefully, to dig deep, to go to sources. And we are at a critical moment where the good news is the bad news. What do I mean? I mean this. I mean that things have gotten so dark, so compromised, so confused that it has now put us into a situation where we either stand up and do what's right or apologize to our kids and grandkids. I want you to see a major sentiment. Joey, clip number 5. This was atheist David Silverman on Fox News. This is what he has to say with those who differ with homosexual practice or same-sex so-called marriage.
But when we're talking about this specific case, we're not talking about mocking Christianity. We're talking about people who are bigoted, who use Christianity as a shield for their bigotry. I want to make sure everybody understands, bigotry against gays is not a precept of Christianity. There are lots of Christian churches out there that aren't anti-gay. But a lot of bigots on many sides will use Christianity, use religion as a defense, a shield, as it were, against criticism for their bigotry.
So you reject that any Christians hold a legitimate belief that gay marriage is genuinely against what the Catholic Church stands for and its values?
I reject that it comes from Catholicism. I reject that. I say that people are bigoted and then they use religion, and it's not just Christianity. This is Old Testament stuff here, okay? It's people using religion to justify their bigotry. And that's why you
so
have
in
a
essence,
lot of churches
they
who
deserve
do not
it.
Agree.
Right.
Yes,
they,
absolutely.
They deserve
do.
It.
Friends, that's where we're at. You say, what are you talking about? My son's gay. I love gay people, but the Bible, God's word is against it. And family structure, what's best for society, is against it. You might say, I have a ministry reaching out to the gay community. I pray and fast with a broken heart, love for them, but I know that Jesus has a better way. No. You're actually a bigot. You're actually a homophobe. And you are using your religious beliefs as your cover. Say, but doesn't the Catholic Church teach clearly about this? Doesn't the Protestant Church historically teach clearly about this? Doesn't the Bible speak clearly about this? Doesn't traditional Judaism speak? Of course it does. But this is the level of blindness we are up against. Hey, I want to share something very encouraging with you when we come back.
Fire we please. Stand in the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, truth triumphs. Truth triumphs. 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Proverbs 21:30, there's no wisdom or counsel or plan against the Lord. John, the first chapter, tells us the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Truth will triumph. Light will prevail over darkness. What we must do now is not be discouraged by the confusion that's around us, but persevere in speaking the truth in love, praying for those who oppose us, and then, above all, living out our faith in an authentic way. I want to come back to the Rob Bell shift and ultimately what's behind it theologically. I'll share some of the article that I wrote with you, tell you how you can read it. But I want to take a call first. Last hour, I read an email that was sent into our office. We get tons of emails, but only a few get sent directly to me. This one got sent directly to me. I read it last hour, and I said, boy, you couldn't pay $1 million for a testimony like this. And lo and behold, Colleen in Boston, the author of that letter that I read, is on the line with us. Hey, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, glad to do it. Are you Colleen or Colleen?
Colleen.
Colleen. Okay, just wanted to be sure. Well, you talked about your upbringing and the liberal public schools of Massachusetts, kind of throughout your Catholic heritage, and embrace the gay activist position. So how old were you, Colleen, when you embraced the idea that men should be able to marry men or women marry women, or it's just bigoted and homophobic to oppose that? How far back does that go with you?
Probably to high school. You know, I was, like I said, I went to, you know, public school, and that's something that I'm 26, so that's something that 10 years ago they were already, you know, putting in our minds, that it's okay to be gay and it's not weird. And I had a lot of gay teachers that were openly gay. And as you know, Massachusetts was the first state to legalize same-sex marriage, so we're very liberal here in Massachusetts. And I had no doubt in my mind that they were right, you know, that being gay was okay. And so...
And did they offer other opinions or points of view, or just say this is the right view and those who oppose it are homophobic?
They just said this is what's right. They didn't even offer, you know, another opinion. And I was a cradle Catholic. I grew up Catholic. I even went to Catholic college, and I think it was something that wasn't directly addressed. It was sort of just they didn't want to touch it because it's so controversial, and they didn't want to be, like, viewed as bigoted. So it wasn't really outright debated and said, this is what we think and this is what we believe and why. More importantly, why we think that homosexuality is wrong. You know, because in your book, you go through so many strong reasons that I had never heard of before. I was, like, shocked, you know?
And Colleen, how is it that you got a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America?
Well, I had kind of an experience where I have a friend who is a Brazilian. My fiancé is Brazilian. I went to Brazil, and I was talking to his best friend there, who's very Christian. And we had an argument about homosexuality, and he was so convinced that it was wrong. And he told me some amazing reasons why. And I just couldn't get that out of my head. I was like, wow, he just has way better arguments than me. Why can't I, you know... Why can't I argue with him? Why can't I show him the truth? So I started looking into it more, and that's how I came across your book. And it your book brought me back to the Catholic Church, because I was so angry at the Church for so many years, saying, how could they teach this? This is so wrong. This is so hateful. And now I just, my eyes are just open.
Oh, Colleen, I'm so thrilled to hear that. When did you actually read the book?
I just finished it last week. I got it from the library.
Well, so you don't own your own copy?
No.
All right. Well, then you need to get an autographed copy sent to you, so you can have it.
Well, awesome.
Sure, you can have it for your own reference. You know, I've seen many people change in different areas when they're arguing for a point. I've done it myself over the years theologically. I'm arguing for a point. Someone comes back with arguments, and I think, you know, they've got strong arguments, And mine are not as strong as I think. So I've got to look into this, because all that matters is pursuing truth. And I'm so thrilled to hear about the changes. And I'm not Catholic myself, but when I saw the new Pope and what his stances were and what he was known for, I said, thank God for that, because that's a voice for, what, a billion and a half people and a massive social influence. If Catholic leaders back down on this, as many in America have, just kind of gotten lukewarm, it's tragic. Well, I'm thrilled to hear this, and I guess your Brazilian fiancé must be pleased with some of the changes as well.
Yes, he definitely is. He grew up Presbyterian, and he always, he's not an arguer, so he just would kind of go with the flow, and, you know, he wouldn't argue back with me, but I knew deep down he kind of felt like it was wrong, and I feel like we're just even more united now. We're on the same page, so it's just great.
Well, wonderful. And Colleen, above all, keep reading the scriptures, develop a solid personal relationship with the Lord, and keep thinking. That's the path to move forward. Stay right there. Thanks for taking the time to call in. How did you discover that we were also on the air in your area?
Actually, I didn't know. I tuned into you as soon as I got out of work, and I noticed you were talking about the topic, so I said, hey, I'll try calling in. And
awesome.
The man on the phone said that you put me on the air, so...
Well, you absolutely. And the neatest thing to me is that you're 26, because the normal mindset is, well, we've lost the younger generation. They've been sucked in by the media. They just watch all the stereotype things on TV. If you're gay, you're the happiest, most creative, wonderful human being the world's ever seen. If you're a conservative Christian, you're a bigoted, idiot, greedy, hypocrite. They see the stereotypes of everything. And then they know a kid at school, nice kid, gay kid, and, you know, why is the church being so mean? They believe all the stereotypes, and the view is, well, you know, we've lost that younger generation. Now, truth is going to triumph. Truth is going to triumph and change hearts, and there are many thinking people just like you. Colleen, stay right there, and Johnny's going to get your address, and we'll send you a copy of the book. My joy to do it, really.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown.
Thank you. God bless you. Friends, does that encourage you or what? Here's the very thing we're doing. By God's grace, being a voice. How? Through radio and through writing and then through going out and speaking. And people are listening and lives are being changed. Now, let me explain to you one of the fundamental issues that I've struggled with for some years with the teaching of Rob Bell and what is known as the emergent church. You know, I rarely name names here on the air. When someone is a very public figure and their statements are made publicly, let's say Pastor Rick Warren says something on Piers Morgan and I want to interact with it. That's public. Let's say Franklin Graham said something on Fox News. Well, it's a public figure saying things publicly. As Christian brothers, we may talk about it. I may quote that. We may interact. If it's someone that's a pastor of a church somewhere, just wrote a book and does not have that public platform, to be fair to them, I'll contact them first, or we'll try and say, hey, would you like to come on the air and discuss this with Dr. Brown? Or I might try to write to him personally and say, hey, I have an issue with something that you've written here. I'm going to take issue with it publicly. But even then, I try not to name names, because I don't want to be divisive. I don't want to demonize people. I don't want to take advantage of the platform I have in an unfair way to someone else that doesn't have as large a platform. And of course, there are plenty of people with much bigger platforms than me. Let them do what they do. That's between them and God. But what much of the so-called emergent church is known for, and there are better parts and worse parts of the emergent church, and what someone like Rob Bell was known for is what I call the celebration of ambiguity. The celebration of ambiguity. I don't really know for sure. Who can be sure? Why are we being so dogmatic? It's not the destination that matters. It's the journey that matters. Again, I call it the celebration of ambiguity. And it's a bizarre thing to see, especially so many young people flocking after this stuff. Look, if someone's leading, I want them to know where they're going. I want them to be sure. I want them to be on a proven path. And Scripture over and over in the New Testament I write this so that you will know we have eternal life. We are certain of these things. The word of God is fixed and sure. And this whole notion that, hey, it's not the destination that matters, it's the journey. That's bogus. I'd rather have a terrible journey to heaven than a glorious journey to hell. It wouldn't be glorious, wrong word, say a terrific journey. I'd rather have a terrible journey to heaven than a terrific journey to hell. You better believe the destination matters. You better believe if we are unsure, we will lead others into uncertainty. I'm going to talk to you more about this article, where I differ with Pastor Rob Bell, and why I've gone public with it. We'll take your calls when we come back right here on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. So I reported briefly on Monday about Rob Bell's statement that he now supported a man marrying a man, a woman marrying a woman. Hey, it's all about love and fidelity. He believes in marriage, therefore he believes in this. And I was not the least bit surprised to hear that he did this, because he had already come out last year plainly, publicly saying that you could be a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time, and gay activist issues, that's not one of the big issues we should even be focusing on. So I was not in the least bit surprised by what he said. I don't think too many were surprised, but he counseled evangelicals. I'm going to read you his exact quote shortly. He counseled evangelicals, basically telling us we have to adapt or die because the ship has sailed on. Society's changed, so recognize it. 866-34-TRUTH. I will go to the phone shortly. If you haven't read my article yet, please do. It was posted about 10 this morning and has been shared almost 2,400 times already. So this is one of the most rapidly shared articles I have written. That's just on one website. Just on one Christian website. Go to AskDrBrown.org, click on The Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to my latest article, which will take you right here. The issue is this concept that we adapt our beliefs to the changing society, which is utterly outrageous. That is a recipe for disaster. That is a recipe for spiritual destruction. That is a formula for failure. Well, the world just doesn't like the holiness stuff, so we compromise our values. Well, the world just doesn't like this one way only through Jesus view, so we compromise our teaching. Well, the world doesn't like this idea of future judgment, so we just get rid of it. What? What? Well, he may not be saying that exactly, but he's dancing dangerously close to it, and he's on a trajectory of denying absolutes. Again, I'll share more of what he had to say explicitly in a moment. Oh, we need to be more culturally sensitive, for sure. We need to understand the times better and speak the word of God in a way that people can understand what we're saying. And yeah, by all means, use social media and different tools that are available. Why should the devil be the only one to use technology? Of course. But the idea that somehow we have to conform to culture in order to change lives is the opposite of the gospel message, which calls us to swim against the tide and go against the grain and hold to truth even when the whole world mocks it. Is not that the gospel? Is not that what Jesus patterned? Is not that what the prophets of old patterned? Is that not what the apostles patterned and what other leaders through the centuries have patterned? Of course it is. We swim against the tide and with a loving, broken heart say to the world, turn around, you're heading in the wrong direction. Follow us. This is the way to life. And often the more unpopular the message, the more effective it is. 866-348-7884. 1-800-273-8844. Let's go to Natalie in Beaverton, Oregon. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello, Natalie.
Hi. I was wondering, is law of attraction, is it against Christianity? It's like attracts like, you know?
Well,
have you heard of it?
Well, it's just a concept, the law of attraction, like attracts like. Sometimes it's opposites that attract opposites. But here's the thing. We understand that the world loves the world. Jesus said in John 15, if you are of the world would love you as its own. Because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So on the one hand, darkness hates light. Falsehood hates truth. Immorality hates purity. Compromise hates standards. That's on the one hand. So in that sense, yeah, it's against the truth of the gospel. On the flip side, though, Natalie, many people are hungry and thirsty for truth, and they're looking in the wrong places for it. They're hungry and thirsty to really know God, but they're looking in the wrong places. And if they would truly turn to God, they would find the one they're looking for and the very meaning of life. So let's always remember that as we see the outward negative things, let's remember that God is drawing people to himself. But Natalie, if we want the world to treat us differently than Jesus, then we're going to have to live differently than Jesus, because otherwise he said that's how the world would treat us. And Paul wrote 2 Timothy 3:12, after talking about his own suffering and his own persecution, he said this. He said, yes, and all who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus. In other words, not just me, all who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. Natalie, thank you for the call. As a result of writing my article today, oh, let's see, I got one lovely comment. Oh, let me find this one that was just sent to me. Lovely comment. Here you go. This is a guy that always attacks me when I write on Town Hall political website, conservative political website. So we posted my Rob Bell article there and on charismanews.com. So he's going to attack me for anything. This is what he wrote to me after reading my article on Rob Bell. Typical, idiotic, homophobic garbage. He uses the name Robert 1824. Robert, you got to be more creative. That's just getting old. It just doesn't work. He goes on. Why are conservative Christians so obsessed with homosexuality? We're not. It's just knocking at our door everywhere we turn. Who cares if gay people are allowed to marry us? People who love marriage, love God. Their claim that this will bring the wrath of God on a non-existent God. I'm not an atheist, but an agnostic, and don't believe in the same ridiculous Christian God of Christians on America is so idiotic as to be beyond belief. Just leave gay people alone and mind your own blanking business, conservative Christians. You know, one of my conservative activist friends says, well, we'll stop when they stop. We didn't start this. We didn't start this day and night assault on religious freedoms and liberties. Someone else in Charisma commented, thank you for being a voice of reason, knocking people like me back into our senses. You are quite welcome. Friends, we need your help. We need your help to be broadcasting where you're listening by radio or online. We need many of you to help us generously and so sacrificially into what we're doing. The money, all of it, every dime of it goes to good, glorious causes like the radio broadcast and our missions worldwide and Jewish outreach, and helps us write and put these things out. Call, do what you can. It's rare that I ask so directly, but do what you can. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And if you don't have a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America, it's essential reading. I want to send it out for your gift of any size. It's normally a little over $30 with postage. Some of you can't afford that. Your gift of any size, I'll send you the book today. And those who are generous are going to help make up the shortfall. Call this number, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. To give online, go to askdrbrown.org and click on.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me tell you about my day yesterday and how I ended up writing an article on Rob Bell's recipe for disaster, which is starting to go viral online and get very, very widely shared. I had to get up earlier in the morning than normal. Nancy's in Maryland visiting our family there. I had to take my 90-year-old mom to the doctor. We've moved her here a few months ago. She hasn't seen a doctor here. And so we just had to take her in, see a doctor, general checkup, and so on. So I had to get up real early to do that. And then we sat quite a while at the doctor's office. I had gone to sleep late the night before, got home pretty tired, rested a bit, turned around, came and did radio, excited, full of zeal to do it. Got back home, helped my mom with dinner, some other things. And I was just tired. I was tired and I just wanted to chill. But I had this sense, no, you got to write. You got to write. You've got to address what's happened with Pastor Rob Bell. Sunday, former megachurch pastor, best-selling author, highly influential leader in many Christian circles, although I'd say he is increasingly putting himself outside of the realm of mainstream evangelical gospel beliefs. He made an announcement in a Q&A at a church out in California on Sunday that he said, hey, yeah, I'm all for it now. I'm all for marriage, so I'm for man marrying a man, woman marrying a woman, and so on. And he says this, on Sunday. I think we are witnessing the death of a particular subculture, meaning conservative evangelicalism, that doesn't work. I think there is a very narrow, politically intertwined, culturally ghettoized evangelical subculture that was told we're going to change the thing, and they haven't. And they actually have turned away lots of people. And I think when you're in part of a subculture that is dying, you make a lot more noise because it's very painful. You sort of die or you adapt. Well, I ask in my article, in the days of the Maccabees, did the Jewish people survive the onslaught of Hellenism by adapting to paganism with all its worldly appeal? Did they overcome by resisting at any cost, thereby demonstrating the power of their convictions? Did the early church survive the polytheism of Rome by bowing to the emperor, or did they overcome by refusing to compromise even to the point of death, thereby pointing to a better life? Remarkably, on Sunday, when the forum moderator tried to get Bell to take a firm position as to whether Christians know the truth in some ultimate sense, Bell took the discussion in a completely different direction. He wouldn't answer if we can actually, quote, know the truth in an ultimate sense. That's the very thing that has so undermined his position, gotten him to throw out much of what the Bible says about future punishment, gotten him to espouse the idea that ultimately everybody will get in, even if they go through some period of suffering, everybody will get in, advocates the idea that you can be a practicing homosexual and a follower of Jesus at the same time, advocates the idea that marriage can be genderless, it cannot be two men, two women, whatever. Why? Because he has no biblical absolutes that are going to guide him on the right path. Instead, it's what I call the celebration of ambiguity, of I'm not sure, you're not sure, which ultimately becomes, friends, a dogmatism of uncertainty. And it's because of his lack of spiritual beliefs that he's, spiritual absolutes, that he's wandered off the path, leading a generation in his wake. So here's what I wrote at the end of my article. The truth is that 100 years from now, either in this world or the world to come, history will record that those who conform their beliefs to the culture were nothing more than a passing curiosity, while those who refuse to compromise truth will be regarded as the spiritual heroes and torchbearers. In the words of Charles Spurgeon, character is always lost when a high ideal is sacrificed on the altar of conformity and popularity. Read my article, Rob Bell's Recipe for Disaster, and send it out widely to your friends. I've got a special guest about to join me with a word of encouragement. Then Margaret, Devin, Trey, James, I want to get to all of your calls. We'll do it today. To read my article, go to AskDrBrown.org. Just click on the line of fire. You'll see a link to my latest article.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just quoted the famous 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, who said, "Character is always lost when a high ideal is sacrificed on the altar of conformity and popularity." And these days, shockingly, it's actually become the in thing, the politically cool thing to say, "Oh, I endorse a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman." And of course, if you simply say, "You know, I think marriage should be what it's always been according to Scripture and what's best for family," you're now being viewed as a bigot. 866-34-TRUTH. My guest joining us, Phil Burris, founder and president of Citizens for Community Values, which has done an amazing work based in Cincinnati. We've got listeners on WHKW in Cleveland. So this is an organization that's affected the state and the nation. Phil, you've recently been faced with the fact that a respected political leader in your state, Rob Portman, has now said that, well, he understands his son is gay and it's not a choice, and therefore he's changed his view on marriage. What do you make of that, sir?
Well, it's extremely disappointing. I've known Rob for 20 years. I met him before he even ran for Congress. And, in fact, he called me the night before he went public and told me that he was the first one that he wanted to call. And we shared ideas and thoughts. And when he first called me, I thought he was looking for help for his son to walk away from the lifestyle, because I'm pretty sure he knows that I spent 4.5 years on the board of an international organization helping people walk away. And then he dropped the bomb on me by saying he was going to change his opinion, which I still today cannot believe that he did that, because this is a principled issue. And you just don't turn your back on principled issues.
Phil, do you think, and you wrote a very gracious but firm editorial that's getting a lot of national exposure, do you think that he was unaware before this that his son felt that his homosexuality was not a choice? Because he announced it as if this was a new revelation.
Well, he knew about it for 2.5 years. So apparently, in thinking back, they learned about it while he was a freshman in high school. And now he's a junior in high school. Now he's a freshman at Yale. And I don't think there's any coincidence to this whatsoever that he came home probably associating with the other homosexual activist at Yale. And I think maybe he forced his dad's hand on this thing, because that's just my gut feeling, because Rob started off the conversation by saying, "I got some really bad news." And he was dejected and basically sad throughout the whole conversation. And it ended up being a conversation, a dad to a dad. But, it was obvious that he was going to embrace his son's behavior, which was devastating. And because he just gives his son no chance whatsoever of understanding, you know, that he doesn't have to be that way. And I've told him that it's not innate. It's a learned behavior. And, we shared some things. And, you know, the problem for me is it's bad enough that he changed his position on a principled issue. But what really troubles me, because we got two things going on here. One is his family and another one is politics.
Yep.
From a political point of view, the fact that he took a position of his son and used a family situation to go public, you know, which is contrary to why we elected him to Congress.
Exactly.
To the Senate, is just absolutely beyond belief.
Right. So it's one thing to say, I stand for this based on principle. You know, you've got these so-called Christian leaders saying, "Oh, I'm changing my view now, and a man can marry a man." It's like, well, based on what? The Bible didn't change. We didn't get some new insight that now we've discovered that all the manuscripts and all the evidence we have didn't say what we thought it said. You know, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, they certainly knew gay couples in years past that loved each other and loved their kids. And so it's not some new revelation. Why the shift? So when you have an elected official who's said, "I stand for XYZ based on the following reasons, we believe in that person, vote for them," it's a massive breach to say, "I'm now shifting my views because I love my son in this particular way and want to affirm him. So what do we do now? Do we just say another loss, throw in the towel, America's capitulating, or can we bring about change?
Well, we can bring about change, all right. And what's surfacing now, you know, is what happened to Mike DeWine, Senator Mike DeWine. When he opposed us in 2004, I chaired the marriage amendment in Ohio to change the Constitution here in Ohio. And Senator DeWine came out against us. And he had been in the Senate for, I think, two or three terms. And obviously that cost him his election. When he ran again, he got beat because he switched his position. And there's no doubt in my mind that the same thing is going to happen based on the emails we're getting and the calls we're getting, is that people are not only devastated, but they're angry, you know, that they have somebody up there that they voted for to represent their point of view and their values, and he's turned his back on them. This is a non-negotiable issue with our organization, and he will be listed on our annual, what we call Ohio Election Central, our reporting agency, where we endorse candidates as unacceptable for public office.
And Phil, those outside of Ohio may not be as familiar with the work you've done, but what got you started in this, the impact that you made with pornographic issues? How did this come about? If you just give a brief overview, it would be very encouraging for folks to hear that you as a concerned person have been able to bring about change.
Well, when I was 14 years old, I was first exposed to pornography. I found a book on the road, walking to school one morning, and I became addicted, and it lasted for 25 years. And then finally, when I broke free in 1980 through the love of Christ, you know, I decided that I wanted to do something about it. And then in 1983, this organization started 30 years ago, and I started volunteering to try to help because I didn't want other people to fall into this trap as well. So Cincinnati at that time had a lot of bookstores and strip bars and things, and we started fighting that first, and today we have neither of those. We have no strip bars or porn stores, the largest metropolitan area in the United States that does not have those. But then all of a sudden in 1993, you know, I saw the movement of the homosexual activist, and I went to my board and said, this is a very, very serious issue here. In 1991, I became president. And so we started addressing this issue then. Then in 1996, we had a meeting in Memphis, Tennessee, where we had the first meeting ever to address same-sex marriage that was going on in Hawaii. And since then, we've been meeting every 3 months to address this issue. So DOMA came out of that first meeting. The federal DOMA came out of that first meeting in 1996. And then also the state DOMAs, and then also the state constitutional amendments.
Yeah, and Phil, obviously you could state things in even more detail that we feel the weight and breadth of, but that little summary is amazing to hear, that you started volunteering because you had come out of a destructive lifestyle, and something on a citywide level has happened. We need to be encouraged, because secular media and the gay activist mantra is basically this: we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. What I'm feeling, though, Phil, is that the bad news is the good news, that those on the other side are overplaying their hand and almost forcing Christians and other people of conscience to say, we got to take a stand, because it's knocking at our door, actually trying to take away our rights. We had Arthur Goldberg and Chris Doyle on in the first hour talking about the bills to try to outlaw help for young people with unwanted same-sex attraction. So it is that point. Boy Scouts, another case in point, where we either stand up and speak or we have to apologize to our kids and grandkids.
Listen, it's not about marriage and it's not about the Boy Scouts. You know, people know if they listen to your program very often, it's about having access to children. That's really what it's all about, telling them and teaching them that this is normal. That's what this is about. 2 days ago, I was interviewed by the Los Angeles Times after talking to the press, and I was getting pretty fed up because they kept telling me, don't you realize this is inevitable? What's your response to that? And I said, the only people that tell me that this is inevitable are the media and homosexual activists.
Exactly.
You're the only ones that keep repeating that. And I said, the score is 31-3. How do you call that inevitable?
Right.
Because the only way that this is going to be inevitable, if you destroy the institution of every major religion in the world.
Yeah, and in fact, although America has struggled and Europe struggled in this way, conservative religion within the church, but then not even in a positive way, Islam is spreading like wildfire around the world. And the new Pope has made it clear where he stands. So, you know, it reminds me of trash talk before a fight or a game or something like that, you know, where it's like, don't even bother playing, man. You're going to lose. That's how we have to look at it, with all respect, because there is a battle at hand. But folks like you, Phil, have made a difference. Your organization has made a difference. And thank you for the encouragement and reminder that if we stand up for what's right, truth will triumph.
Amen, brother.
All right. Thanks, Phil. The website is ccv.org, as in Citizens for Community Values, ccv.org. Thank you, Phil Burris, for joining us. Okay, we come back. I'm going to get to your calls in rapid succession, so be ready to weigh in with clarity as soon as we come back. And then I want to appeal to you to stand with me to make a difference. Will you do that?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And remember, we are your listener-supported voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I'm going straight to the phones. Margaret in Arlington, Texas, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. I have to say, this is coming from a person that was in a bisexual lifestyle. And to everybody who's listening, that is a horrible, wicked lifestyle. It is a vulgar, vile, wicked lifestyle. And I can tell you from coming out of it, it has taken me years to walk out of this, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things, two, three things that bother me, one is that pastors and preachers, people are calling these people homosexuals. I've come through that ugly lifestyle. They're calling them gays. They're not gays. It's not even in the Bible. They're homosexuals. Yeah. People don't want to hear the truth. This is what you are, and it pierces their conscience. And two, for that ridiculous man and that politician, they need to read what Romans, the first chapter, says. And this is how God feels. He said that it's vile passion and that it's shameful. And at the end of 32, verse 32, he said that the righteous judgment of God to those who practice such things are deserving of death. And so it's not approved, and it's never been approved. And I don't have the desires for it, but I fight it. Satan is real, and he will not let go easily. And we need to wake up these preachers that are, and by the way, the blood of multitudes of people are going to be on that pastor. And the reason why that politician did what he did, I think it's out of guilt.
Yeah, it could well be. Margaret, how long were you caught up in bisexuality?
I hate to say it because it makes me want to cry, but it was at least, since I was a little girl. I hate to say that, and it's a horrible thing. And it's
I understand, but these things can be deeply rooted in people's lives, and that's why it takes God reaching down deep to change them. By the way, the only reason I've used the term gay is because I'm often speaking to the world and the secular society and trying to reach out and build a certain bridge. But absolutely, I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying, and I have many of my friends doing the same thing I do, who will never use the word because they feel it's a capitulation already. So I recognize that, and you make a good point with it. Margaret, thank God for his grace in your life. Thank God for his transformation. And remember, you're not who you used to be. Don't ever be plagued by that. You're forgiven and free and a new creature in Jesus. So live that out and continue to testify strongly. Your voice is needed on the front lines, Margaret. Thank you for calling.
Actually, this is the first time I've ever admitted it, because it's a shameful thing.
I understand. I understand that, it should be shameful. What that means is not that if someone's struggling, they can't come for help. The church needs to be able to say, whoever you are, whatever your background, however you're struggling, we are all messed up in one way or another. We all need Jesus. We need to have an open door where people can come and say, hey, these are my issues. But of course, certain lifestyles are shameful. I'm ashamed of the fact I stole money from my father and shot heroin before I was saved.
Yeah.
That's the gospel removes our shame. And Margaret, thanks for using the vehicle of this radio broadcast to share with everyone. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord, Margaret. Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. Amazing. Amazing. You can't orchestrate calls like that. Devin in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to know, you know, I have a homosexual brother, and I'm from a family of five boys. He's the only one that's homosexual. The rest of us, you know, a lot of sexual sin on the heterosexual side. I became a Christian 8 years ago. I was an atheist, and we do a lot of evangelism in my church, and a lot of people that I talk to, what they don't realize is I know this. I know what it's like to be related to someone that's homosexual, but that doesn't permit me to compromise with God's holiness. And I read a book that I just wanted to point out, a piece in the book written by A.W. Tozer recently that talks about God's holiness. And when, well, one, the thing about God's holiness is it's the only thing in the scripture where it says it three times, God is holy, 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 you know, and his holiness is the predecessor to his mercy, you know, the law, the old
covenant. Right. If we understand that holiness, God's holiness is the full expression of all of his divine perfections, so love flows out of holiness. Justice flows out of holiness. Mercy flows out of holiness. Holiness is wholeness, and what's best for us as human beings. Say, hey, Devin, I hope they're not coming to arrest you for speeding or talking on the cell phone there, but seriously, sir, I want to send you a DVD to watch. Maybe your brother will watch it. It's a debate I had with a gay activist about Christianity and homosexuality. It's very gentle in tone, but it's very eye-opening. So stay there, and I want to send you this as a gift. Trey in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Oh, I'm on?
Yes, you're on. Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I want to thank Miss Margaret who called in earlier. I had something else I wanted to say, but that really touched me. God raised her up for a time such as this. And
yeah.
Well, what I wanted to say earlier is all of us who are in the trenches, guys, we got to stand firm, because the only way truth is potent is if it isn't cut. You know, you can't cut truth. And
yes,
if we
sir.
Compromise here, we got to compromise other places. But I appreciate you letting me on, man. God bless.
Well, thank you, Trey. And, you know, Trey, I've never heard that saying, but that speaks well. The only way truth is potent is if it's not cut. All right, friends. We are out of time right now, but as always, our phone lines are open, our website's open. Please do communicate with me. If you haven't read my Rob Bell article, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and you'll see a link to the article. If you missed a call we got at the beginning of this hour, it's a 26-year-old woman from Massachusetts named Colleen. Grew up Catholic, went to a Catholic college, but was more influenced by the public school system. And Massachusetts being as liberal as it is and pro-same-sex so-called marriage, she was influenced by that, bought this whole gay activist thing, hook, line, and sinker, began to be challenged in some of her views, and went to the library, found a queer thing happened to America, and has completely changed her. In fact, she's gone back to her religious faith and has embraced the fact that homosexual practice is wrong. By God's grace, we're making a difference. And I want to ask you to stand with us. We are listener-sponsored. To be broadcasting online costs us money, and to be on each of the stations where you're listening costs us money. And then we do missions outreach and Jewish outreach around the world. We need your help. We really do. And some of you can help in a generous way. So be sacrificial, be generous, give as you're able to give. I can ask boldly because all the money goes back into gospel work. Call right now 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer. And your gift of any size, I want to send you A Queer Thing Happened to America. With postage, it's more than $30, but whatever you can afford, I want to get it out to you. And those with more will help make up the difference. 1-800-278-9978, the number to call. If you want to give online or become a monthly supporter, go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on support. My bottom line today, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Do not look to your own weakness and the depravity of society. Look to the Lord and be renewed in him.